Start up. Rise and shine. Let's get it going. In the garden with Rosie on the house. John J. Harper, and lines are open. If you've tried to get in and only been irritated by the busy signal so many times, now's an excellent chance to hit in. You'll get lucky. 1-888-767-4348.
Vegetable gardening, we were just getting into the topic of tomato plants, pepper plants. It's a great time to get those in the ground. We still have, if we haven't got there yet, it's still time to get a little spring garden in.
Oh, we're just beginning. You know, just tomatoes and peppers just in the last couple weeks. So lots of time. And just beginning to do squashes and melons and really almost too early for okra yet. So, yeah, it's just the very beginning. But tomatoes especially are the things you want to get in the earliest because they're the most, or I guess really you want to say the least heat tolerant of all of our spring or summer vegetables. So they're the ones you want to get up, get them going, get them big, get them producing before the hot weather of late May and early June kind of does them in.
I've always have a hard time remembering what to plant when.
Okay.
What is our crop for the spring?
Well, typically here, you want to think of things that are producing fruits as spring and summer vegetables or fruits. So tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, squashes, melons. Things that are winter or cooler season vegetables are things that are going to be more like roots and leaves and stems. So all the lettuces and the chards and spinaches and radishes and turnips and beets and those types of things. Now, there is some overlap in that, but that's generally a good way to remember is warm season crops are the things that you actually pick a fruit off of. Cool season crops are the things that you harvest a leaf or a root of.
And the things that are easy to grow are never the favorites. We planted zucchini. We had coming out the ears. Why can't zucchini taste like a tomato or something that you enjoy eating?
Well, you know,
it turned into chicken food, half of them.
I like zucchini because you make zucchini bread, which isn't all bad out of zucchini. Tastes pretty good.
And that is one of the things we do, but there's only so many zucchini loaves you can have as well before they go bad.
I suppose that's true. But, you know, that's why all the people in the Midwest lock their doors at night so your neighbors don't fill your car full of zucchini when you're not looking. But, you know, that, I tell people all the time, if you have limited space, you need to really plant what you like to eat because inevitably you're going to get a lot of what you don't like. Same way with a fruit tree or a citrus tree. You know, if you don't like grapefruit or can't eat, a lot of people with medication now can't eat grapefruit. Don't plant a grapefruit tree. You know, plant a tangerine or an orange or a peach or something that you can eat because typically with most of those, especially citrus, you're going to get probably way more fruit than any one family can eat.
We've got listeners planting satsuma trees.
Satsuma is a mandarin, a tangerine of sorts. You know, so there's lots of differences. There is one called a satsuma mandarin. That does reasonably well here. So all the little mandarins, have gotten real popular with the little boxed ones you buy in the grocery store in the wintertime now, the cuties and all of those. You know, so they've gotten very popular.
Melons are something that we, you know, 2 years ago we had an incredible melon crop. I mean, we had three different varieties of watermelon we planted. They did extremely well. And I was reorganizing our layout for the garden. So I just stuck some seeds in our container gardens. Mm-hmm. And thought, well, I'll just grow it vertical. I've heard that they will still grow. We did not get nearly the production that we did just growing them out of the ground. I don't know what changed it or how it changed it, but I don't think we got a single watermelon last year.
Well, it could be the sheer quantity. If you didn't have enough space and you didn't have enough flowers, and you didn't have enough pollination because you didn't have enough flowers. You know, so it could be a factor in the fact that if it was just in a raised garden and you just planted a few, you know, it's just, you know, kind of the critical mass wasn't there to have the crop that you needed to have. They will certainly grow that way. And you can grow melons and squashes and cucumbers on trellises or strings or, you know, netting on a fence or a wall or something like that very fine. But sometimes if you don't plant enough of something, you just don't get the critical amount of flowers that you need to have pollination, and it's just kind of a, you know, just kind of feeds on itself.
Let's go to Maricopa and bring Steve into the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead with your question.
I'm still relatively new to Arizona and just can't stand not having a garden any longer. So I've got to plant something. I want to grow potatoes, but I don't know. Can we even grow potatoes down here?
We can. You could grow sweet potatoes this time of year. You're too late for, you know, an Irish or a white type potato. We could grow those in the late fall and grow them, you know, all through the winter and then harvest them, you know, in the mid to late spring. Sweet potatoes do wonderfully here all summer. And then about, Roma, you grew a bunch of sweet potatoes one year. About Thanksgiving, they're about right. That, of course, you got to have a lot of room to grow potatoes.
They're a beautiful vine.
And it is a pretty ground cover.
And it smells good. And we had just taken one from the grocery store, cut it in half, stuck toothpicks, stuck it in the mason jar, waited for it to sprout, stuck it in the ground. Thanksgiving came and we got out there with the shovel. And I mean, huge, huge sweet potatoes, the size from my fingers to my elbow, some of these. And for the leading up to that point, something I always brought to Thanksgiving was you boil them, mash them down, add a little molasses, put them in a pecans casserole dish, and top it with pecans and bring that. So finally, it was tomatoes from our garden, not store-bought. So making a big deal about it. Got to Uncle Rennie's across town and realized I left it on the kitchen table.
Oh,
oh man. Well, you know.
But it was great as a leftover home that the next day.
I have baked sweet potatoes like you were doing baked potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I have also put them on the smoker.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're
fantastic that way. Now, the soil we have down here in Maricopa is really like a heavy clay type soil.
Welcome welcome to Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay. And I've heard people say that you can grow potatoes in like the whiskey barrels,
uh-huh,
or even take a one of the plastic 55-gallon drums, cut them in half, and grow them that way. Can you do the sweet potatoes that way or no?
You know, sweet potato is a little different, because technically it's not, you know, a true potato. So it's got to grow and re-root, you know, above ground and then kind of root where it touches. You could try it. I'm not sure it would work that way. Actual potatoes, I've seen guys, one way to do it is you take old tires. It's kind of a Cajun thing. You take a tire and you put soil in it. And you put
brother that's from Kentucky. It kind of made me think there for a minute.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And then as the potato vine grows up through that first tire, you put another tire on top of that, and you just kind of keep building it and adding soil. And then when they're all done, you just tear that apart, and you got potatoes all the way up and down. That way you don't take up a lot of room that way. I'm not sure if you could do sweet potatoes that way. It'd be worth a try.
And you could do it both ways. Put some in the ground like you normally would and do the tire.
I will tell you, though, sweet potatoes on the ground, if you're doing them, you better have some space because they go nuts. They grow everywhere.
And as a newcomer to Arizona, we've got to tell him raised planters are the way to go. I mean, he can amend that expansive clay soil down there in Maricopa for 10 years and get it about where it should be, or he just gets some Belgard dry stack walls, raise a planter up about 2 feet, throw some already amended garden-ready soil in there, and be ready to go. He's going to be miles ahead.
Takes a little getting set up, but once you're set up, it's a lot easier to work and grow in. Sure, you bet.
Steve, take that from a carpenter, me, Rosie, who's been trying to garden in his backyard for 25 years. Raised planters. My garden is perfect right now, but it's taken 10 years of doing the Harper Soil Amendment Program every planting season to get it there. So raised planters, import your soil. You're going to be miles ahead. I will never take a ground garden again.
The nice thing about raised garden is you can start at a certain size, and those dry if you want to make it bigger, you just kind of take an end off and expand it out and build, you know, and just kind of expand it as as you get better and better at gardening and want to grow that garden bigger and bigger and try new things.
You can create a weed border on the bottom. Yeah. You can create a gopher border across the bottom that can't get in there. For 100 million different reasons, raised planters for Rosie are the only way to go.
And if you build it high enough, you don't have to do a lot of gardening down on your knees or bent over. And
make sure you don't make it too deep. But yeah, if you're gonna get it up to, if you don't want to stoop, and as we get older, we think about things like that. But yeah, absolutely.
And for keeping rabbits out of it, raised gardens, if you do them high enough as well, it helps keep your critters out. Now it does take more water.
Yes. Yeah. The soil does dry out quicker.
So there you go, Steve. Welcome to Maricopa. Good luck with your potatoes. Let us know how they grow for you. John wants to know, talk about blueberries. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well.
So I just was at the Home Depot nursery, and me and my kids were out there, and we were trying to look at different plants, and they saw some blueberries, and we picked them up and went home and planted them. And then my wife was starting to wonder about them, and so we started looking them up online and got mixed reviews on just planting them in the ground.
Yeah, don't plant them in the ground.
Okay.
Plant them in a container or a raised garden. Or most people that I know that have had any success with blueberries here have grown them in some type of container, like a whiskey barrel, wine barrel, kind of a thing. They need very acidic soil conditions. They don't like our alkalinity. They don't like our heat. They're definitely something you just want to, if you want to play around with something, you know, do it. But the success with blueberries is kind of mixed. Now, blackberries and boysenberries, on the other hand, can actually do very well here and grow in the ground here. So if you want berries, those are probably the ones you really want to concentrate on.
And will those need a lot of shade, or can they grow straight out in the sun?
I'd recommend afternoon shade. But I've seen them out in full sun with lots of water. You know, and there again, berries generally need quite a bit of water. But the one thing you got to give them is space. Blackberries and boysenberries are like a grapevine. They ramble and bramble and take up lots of room. So a place that maybe you don't care too much about, or you can dedicate some room to it, it's a good spot for them.